some out of town, and some out sick tonight, others at work and things. So let's just keep remembering them in prayer. Amen. And let's go before the Lord tonight before we read from the scriptures. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, to be here tonight, Father, in this opportunity we have to come, Lord, and to gather, Lord, with, and to expect, Lord, to hear from you tonight. And I ask, God, for those that are not able to be here, you know, those that are at work, those that are out of town, and those that are sick, Father, and things, Lord, you know their needs. I pray you'll heal the sick, Lord, and touch the weary, watch over the travelers. I pray tonight, Father, and we ask it in Jesus Christ's name and give you praise. Amen. You may be seated. We've got actually quite a bit of reading here tonight. And studying over this, we turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Actually, we're going to read chapters 8 and 9 because it's dealing, Paul writing to the Corinthian church and dealing with the same thing. What he's dealing with here is he's exhorting them in chapter 8 and commanding them in chapter 9 to send, gather up contributions to send to the church in Jerusalem. And he speaks here about the churches in Macedonia, which there's many churches in that. It's a Macedonian region, so there were several churches in that region. And these are all Gentile churches, you know. He talks about them sending donations, charitable finances and things to the churches in Jerusalem and Judea. And he's encouraging the Corinthians to do the same. Chapter 8, verse 1 of 2 Corinthians. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestow on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abound unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we should receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. And this they did not as we'd hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and in utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And herein I give you my advice, for this is expedient for you who had begun before, not only do, but also to be forward a year ago. And now therefore perform the doing of it, that there was a readiness to will, so there will be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and according to that he hath not. For I mean not that other men be eased and ye burdened, but by equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there might be equality. As it is written, he that gathereth much hath nothing over, and he that hath gathered little hath no lack. But thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you, For indeed he accepted exhortation, but being more forward of his own accord, he went unto you. And we have sent him with him the brother whose praise is in the gospel through all the churches. Not only that, but who also chosen of the churches to travel with us with this grace, which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord and declaration of your ready mind. Avoiding this, that no man should blame us in this abundance, which is administered by us, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. And we have sent with them our brother, whom we have oft times proved diligent in many things, but now much more diligent upon the great confidence which I have in you. Whether any do inquire of Titus, he is my partner and fellow helper concerning you, or our brother be inquired of, they are the messengers of the churches and the glory of Christ. Wherefore, show ye to them and before the churches the proof of your love and of our boasting on your behalf. Now let's go on down to the 9th chapter. For as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. That word just means it's kind of needless for me to write to you. For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Archaea was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that as I said, ye may be ready. Less happily, if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, we, that we say not ye, should be ashamed in this same confident boasting. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they should go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye had noticed before, that the same might be ready as the matter of bounty, not as of covetousness. But I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by the many thanksgiving unto God, whilst by the experiment of this ministration they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men, and by their prayers for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. Now, what Paul's actually speaking of here is that the Christians in Jerusalem, through war and famine and persecution, the churches, it had really fallen into decay. They were actually become poor. They were in need of subsistence. They were in need of finance. They were in need of food. They were in need of clothing. They were in much need. And Paul was encouraged. Now you realize he had went to the churches in Macedonia, and actually you can find this in Romans 15, verses 25 through 27. That he went to Jerusalem to take finances and things that the Macedonian churches and the Achaia churches had sent contributions for the poor saints, it says, that were in Jerusalem. And he said, you know, you as a Gentiles have been made partaker of their spiritual things. Your duty is also to minister to them their the carnal things that they need. And he tries to encourage the Corinthians to do this by telling them what all the churches in Macedonia and Achaia had done to try to help those in Jerusalem. The thing also he brings out is you got to realize the Macedonian churches, they weren't rich. They weren't giving out of abundance of riches that they had. But they were actually, they took like a year to gather up things to send to the saints in Jerusalem. And, you know, and Paul actually, he says, you know, that they had their own needs and that he said they were in a low condition, themselves in distress, yet contributed to the relief of others. He actually says they were in great tribulation and deep poverty. And so, you know, it wasn't like that these churches that were sending help to Jerusalem were rich. They weren't. But they still had more than those in Jerusalem had. And so Paul was telling them of what all these other churches had done to encourage them, you know, to do likewise. And then he says to them in chapter 9, he says, I'm sending brothers to you, men to you, to tell you about this need and that, so that you have time to gather up a contribution to send, so that when I come to receive it, he says, some of the brothers from the churches in Macedonia are going to travel with me. He says, and I brag to them about you and about your willingness to give to support the people, the Christians that are in Jerusalem. He said, so I'm sending those ahead of time to give you time to gather things up. He said, because if I don't do this and I come and you don't have anything, then it's not you that should be ashamed. It's me that should be ashamed. And, you know, and he spoke about the churches in Macedonia and that there in the beginning of the 8th chapter, how they actually had to encourage him to take what they had gathered to contribute, because Paul was looking at them and saying, you guys are in need as well. You know, you're not rich churches, you know, and some small churches and things. But they said, no, we want to give. We want to give. And that's what Paul, he's saying that there in that first few verses of the 8th chapter. And, you know, the thing about it was, you realize Paul had, he had a fondness for the Christians, the Jews that were Christians there in Jerusalem. But he also realized that the Christian Jews there in Jerusalem, they didn't all share the same fondness for the Gentile Christians. But Paul's saying, even though they don't, he was encouraging them, you know, don't let that affect you. Let's give and help them. They're our brothers and sisters. And to give to relief, you know. And so what Paul's actually talking about here is being charitable. And, you know, and... you know, then the thing he brings out is you realize that, like I said, the Corinthians, they weren't rich either. Now, I know that Corinth was, as I've told you when I taught you about Corinth back last year, you know, it was a rich area. But the Christians there in Corinth, it wasn't that these churches, the church of Corinth, it wasn't that they were rich. Not in worldly goods and finances, money and things like that. But what Paul says that they are rich in is the abundance of the word that's been delivered to them. And the grace of God is what Paul calls it. And you realize that there was an abundance of the word delivered to them. And, you know, and because he says in the 7th verse of the 8th chapter, he says, ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. He says, see that you abound in this giving also. And, you know, so because, and then it brings me to bring it to us. You know, we here in churches, and I know we're just a small church. We're not a rich, rich church. But, you know, if there's anything we can do, and we have done things, we have at times took up offerings and sent. I've actually sent out of my own money to help brothers in the mission when they would contact me with a need and that. But the thing I look at is this, friends. The message of the hour was delivered in our country, in our language, by a prophet, a man of God that was born here in our country. And there's all these other countries out there that, you know, it didn't come in their languages. But you know, we might not have a lot money-wise and all that, but we are abounding in the grace of God of the word of the hour, you know, and that we have it so much at our fingertips, you know, and that, you know, so when you came to the message, you know, the thing was, you were able to sit down and listen to a tape of the prophet. Because why? It was in your language. You know, and the ministry that you sit under, they have studied and read and listened to the message because it's in our language. And so the revelation of it abounds, which with that being said, it puts a great responsibility on us, because the thing that we're supposed to do is actually spread the gospel, preach the gospel to every nation, to get it out. And so, you know, we have so much of that that it's our responsibility to share it. And, you know, and that is, yes, it's through translating of the message books and getting those translated and getting them in printed and into those different countries and things. The providing the audio recordings of the message, you know, and so that they can hear them, providing things where now, because of technology has so advanced. I'll tell you what, friends, when I first started preaching, how I studied, I had message books that I had read, and as I read the message books, I would write little notes out on the covers and on the inside of the cover and that, and put a little notation, page such and such, you know, and I'd put a little header up there in my own words of what attracted me to this, what this was about, and then a few words from the quote to clue me in. And so when I was studying on things, sometimes I'd sit in the floor in front of the shelf where I had my books, and I would pull out these message books that I'd read, and from my memory, trying to remember where things were, you know, and I'd look at the covers of these books where I had wrote little notes and things, and see, okay, here it is. So then I would take that, and then I'd mark a place in the book, and I'd have a stack of books that I'd bring with me, you know, and my notes were all handwritten. Didn't have no typewriter. There was no computers back then. And so it was all handwritten, so I didn't write out the quotes. I just marked them in the book and brought the book with me. And I would just mark in my notes, you know, such and such a book, this quote or whatever. And that's the way, you know, I preached. And I can remember one time there was this brother, I think his name was Pinkerton, if I remember right. But he was his ministry was more like a teacher of the message and that, and he really read and studied and everything, and he came and he stayed at our house, you know, and I've heard him preach a couple different places and that, and he actually carried this briefcase that was about like this big and about that wide, and it was just full of books and things, and he would actually bring it up to the pulpit with him, and you know, and he would go through this and have books laid out and everything, you know, going through the teaching of things and that and all that. But, you know, when I came back from Germany, back to the States, you know, and discovered computers, you know, we actually got a laptop when I was in the Army. Right there, the last year or two I was in, we actually had a laptop that we had up in the command center where I was. And so I'd learn a little bit about him, but then we come home and here's computers, and then I learned they actually got a program where you can search the message. And I was like, this is amazing, you know, because, you know, I wouldn't have to go through all these things on books and notations and that I'd made and all this stuff, you know. I could actually just say, and then it was actually just trying to learn to think of how Brother Branham would talk so that I could look up things. And sometimes, you know, you type in maybe just two words and it's a broad search and you got to read through a lot of quotes to glean out what you're looking for in that. And then there's specifics that you could remember, but you couldn't remember exactly how it was worded. And so it would take some time to find it. Sometimes I'd call my dad and say, hey, I'm searching for this, you know. I'd call my brother and say, I'm searching for this, you know. And so we'd all go searching through it. And it, with time, of course, I've been here over 25 years, you know. And as a pastor, of course, I had to do a whole lot more studying than I did before I was a pastor. You know, I mean, I studied in that, and there was a lot I learned. But, you know, I didn't have to preach as often as I do now, you know, or I have over the past 25 years. And so, but, you know, there's a lot that was available to us now. And so, you know, we've tried to make that available to others in other countries. And there are people throughout some of the other countries that, can speak English. You find actually in the Philippines, when you go there, there's a lot of people that can speak English. There's a lot of people that can actually read English. Among those that are maybe more toward the metropolitan areas, so they've been a little more educated. When you get out into the areas where just the little villages and things are and things like that, they don't speak English, and so you've got to have interpreters to speak through and things and that. But I can remember when my dad was alive, the first trip I went to the Philippines, I took with him. And he actually had sent computers that he built himself over there to Brother Roel to distribute out to pastors. And then when we went over there, we had to go visit all these places so my dad could actually set up the computers for them. And so it made it for those pastors to be able to research through the message to be able to preach it to the people. And so, but, you know, there's, and the thing is, you know, we also have the charitable responsibility as well, because you realize that's part of actually sending out the gospel. We're not just trying to send out food to feed people and money to try to provide food just to feed people, you know, to feed the poor and all this. No. We're trying to get the gospel out. And so, you know, there's needs that have to be met to try to help get the gospel out. And some of those needs are financial needs. Some of those needs are support needs. You know, you think about this, you know, the people there, especially in some of the, around some of the different places, you know, we've had Brother Lanlan here from the Philippines, and he's been here, I guess, maybe about three times or so that he's been here. Maybe he spoke twice. I think, was it last year he came, and we actually had to end up canceling the service, so you didn't get to see him. I just got the fellowship with him and because of COVID and that. But, you know, he's got a little work over there but you know, the people, I went there and I preached there in a camp meeting that he holds every year in October, and I've been there before and preached there and that, and I've been amongst and around the people and different things, friends, and tell you something, they're poor people. They, you know, they don't have, you know, they're working, you know, just to try to put some food on their tables, and they don't have a lot. And I'll tell you what, their houses, they're nothing like what that we live in, you know. They if you would see some of the places where they live and the houses and things like that, and how they have to build them in that. You know, and of course it's different because the climate's different, so they don't have some of the same needs we would have because of the warmer climate. But you know, they're poor, so you think about that. And so a minister, a pastor especially, that's given himself to pastoring these people and to the work of the Lord and things like that, sometimes he needs some financial help for income, because he's got his family to feed, you know. And there's sometimes these pastors, they need a house. And so, you know, you send money to help them to build out. Many times what the pastors do, I know, in especially in some of the outlying places, and I've seen a lot down in Honduras and Costa Rica and the Central American countries and that down there, is that you send money to help the pastor to build a church building for the people to come and assemble in. And what the pastor will usually do is, a lot of times, he'll just like add a room or two onto the back of the church for him and his family to live in there at the church. And I'll tell you something, friends, this building is immaculate compared to some of the buildings that they have. You know, as I've told you, in some of these places, of course, like I said, the climate's different, but they don't have any glass in their windows. You know, they've got they got wood shutters that they shut and close to cover it up, you know, but then they open those shutters to let air in, you know. And that, because there's not air conditioning in all the churches. You know, even in the Philippines, you know, it's actually, air conditioning is a little bit more common in the Philippines when you get in around the big cities like Manila and places like that. You know, they'll have some air conditioners that they're not like anything you've seen here. They're big units that stand up right inside their building, you know, and they're huge. And they'll have two or three of them set up at different places inside the building, you know, to provide the cooling, you know, and it's vented, but you know, they have these. But when you get out into the outlying areas and that, they don't have that. So, you know, they just open their windows up to let air in, and I know where Brother Lanlan is. He had fans, you know, fans to kind of circulate and move the air while the people were sitting in the building and that, you know, and they would leave the back door open. You know, they didn't have a vestibule area like what we've got. Of course, I guess they really don't need it. They just got two doors at the back, and you open it up and you walk outside. And a lot of times they'll have like a little, like a porch area type. And they open up the doors for air to circulate in, have these fans and different things. And they're, you know, but there's needs that the minister has for expenses to try to get the gospel out. I know, I can't remember what month it was. It was toward the end of last year sometime. I can't remember exactly when, but Brother Lanlan, he stays in contact with me, and if he has a need, he messages me. And so he was needing to go and take some people with him to some meetings that they were having, and he was supposed to be preaching there and that. And he needed they have license plates, you know, tags for their vehicles just like you do here. So he needed to renew them, and he didn't have the money to get it renewed, but he had to renew it before he could go and take these people and go on this trip. And he had a van, and I rode in it. And then he also, it needed something. I don't remember if it was a battery or something. He needed something for it. And so he contacted me about it. So I sent him the money to get the registration renewed, and I sent him money. I didn't ask you for an offering. I just sent it myself of my own, you know. And I sent him money to renew his registration and to repair his van so that he could take and he could go. And there's been times that I've actually just sent him my own money just to try to help subsidize his income, you know. And I know we're just a small church. I'm not a rich man, you know. I can't, you know, I can't just supply everybody, but I just had a real burden for Brother Lanlan. And I just, when I met him, there was just some connection that happened there, and I just felt a real burden toward him, you know, and so I've tried to help him, you know. And then, you know, after Brother Roel died, his wife, Sister Chichi, there she was, she had no source of income in that, you know, and I knew that her daughter was going to try to help her, and she was going to have to do something in that, so I gave her some money. When I saw her, I gave her some money to try to help her till she could get something going for herself, you know, to you know, because she was no longer going to be receiving anything, as far as I know, from the church, because Brother Roel, the pastor, he had passed away, and so now they had a new pastor. And so, you know, and so I had that on my mind and felt burdened for her. And so there's needs and things like that you want to give to. And there's been times that I've took up offerings from you. When Brother Roel was in the hospital, you know, with the COVID and that, and I asked you for an offering so that we could send money to try to help pay that hospital bill that they had in that. And there was others. It wasn't just our church that sent money for the same thing. And so the hospital will end up getting paid. But, you know, I can't remember how much we ended up sending. I think it was like, by the time what you gave and then what I contributed in, I think it was somewhere around $3,000 or something like that. And so we sent that for that. There's times where there's a vehicle needed, you know. I can remember some years ago, many of you wouldn't know him, but you maybe heard me speak of him, and my children would know him, and my wife was an evangelist down in Honduras named Brother Lisandro. Brother Lisandro Hernandez was his name. And I had known him from the time I was a kid. You know, he was one of the first ones I had met. And so he done evangelistic work in the country of Honduras down there. And that, so he needed a vehicle to travel. That's what he did. He spread the gospel. Now, I'm going to tell you something about Brother Lisandro. Friends, he went out in amongst the natives. He went out in amongst by that I mean like not just the Honduran people, but actually even in amongst the, what you'd say, the indigenous Indian people that were from that area and things too. And he would go up in the mountains. He would just stay anywhere, sleep anywhere, do, you know, just to get the word out and that. And so I can remember the church in Ohio, I can remember us getting money together to try to buy him a truck so that he could go. And we bought him a four-door Toyota, four-wheel drive, because of the places he would have to go into, he had to have a four-wheel drive to get in there. And I ended up riding in that truck my first time I went down there in 1995. And of course, diesel is a lot cheaper fuel in those countries than gas. Gasoline is way too expensive. So when you get them a vehicle, they always wanted a diesel-running vehicle because they could afford that better, you know. But I remember, you know, he had a need for a truck so he could get and go and things like that. And he took me all over that country in that truck and that, you know. And I can remember one time, and I say this, I'll get into maybe some of this later, how happy the people are, you know. And Brother Branham says, I found something. Brother Branham says, you find them in the mission field starved to death almost. I've seen them with no shoes on their feet, living off about 30 cents a week, preaching the gospel, brother, just as happy as you are coming to church in a limousine. They're happy for they found something that means more than a creed or a denomination or a church affiliation, you know. And Brother Bram says in a mess of the missionary talk, he says, a man can never go to the mission fields and return and be the same man. And I tell you, Brother Phil can say amen to that. It changed him when he went, you know. And it's just something. When you see these poor people, and the reason I wanted to read is bring us out, because I remember that truck Brother Sandro had, and we were going up to a place, Puerto Cortez was the name of the place. It's in a northern part of Honduras, and we were going up there to preach a message. We had been down in another city, San Pedro de Sula, I think it is, and so we were going to go up to Puerto Cortez and hold this meeting, and we'd already preached down there in San Pedro Sula. And so, you know, some of the people that heard me preach down there, they wanted to go with us up there to that church in Puerto Cortez, and when we were going to preach up there. And so we got into Brother Sandro's truck, you know, and you know, in one of those trucks, you can kind of see like five people comfortably. I think we had more like six or seven in there. And then, because some of them are a lot smaller than people like me. And so, of course, I was a lot smaller than I am now back then. And so then, but then, you know, if you've ever seen one of those trucks, you know, they just got a short bed on them. You know what I'm talking about, Brother David. Them little trucks, like them Toyotas, they're little trucks, not that full-size Toyota, but those little ones. And they just got this little short bed. I don't know how, you know, what the dimensions on one of those little beds are, but they're just a little short bed. It's not 6 foot. It's less than that, maybe 4 foot or something like that. And I'll tell you, they had that so packed with people, nobody could sit down back there. They were standing up in the back of that bed of that truck, holding on to one another, and those that were around it holding on to the cab and everywhere else to hold on again. And they still had people that wanted to go, and so there was about three or four brothers that could get one leg over the tailgate and the other foot on the bumper of the truck, and they rode up there like that. And we had a ride on this road that had been cut in by the army. The United States Army had cut this road in between those two places, and it was rough. It wasn't paved. It was a rough road. You know, it was actually cut in. It was wide, but it was rough, you know, and there was holes and stuff. So you can imagine them riding in the back of that truck like that. But, buddy, they were willing and ready to go, you know. And it was my first trip actually ever to a mission fields, and it was back in 1995. And so we got over to that little church, you know, and they took me behind the church. The pastor had built himself a little dwelling for him and his family. But, you know, when you sat down, it just had board slats, you know, like boards like this wide. They were cut and they were just nailed across there like that. But there was nothing between them. You could see outside. And, you know, and we sat there and we ate some fish because they had a lot of fish in that area. So we ate some fish before we went to preach. And then when we went into the church to preach, you know, we got in there and it was a small building. I don't even think it was even as big as this building. And like I said, they opened up the shutters and they opened up the door and that. And there were so many people that had come in and traveled from other places to be there for that night, that the lights from inside the church, you know, when I was standing in the pulpit and I would look out, wherever I could see as far as the light was shining out the windows and the door, all I could see was people standing out there. So there wasn't enough seats for everybody inside, so there was people standing, and no place for them to sit except on the ground or whatever, so they were just out there standing. And I'm gonna tell you something, we had quite a service that night. I'll tell you what, I about preached myself to death them pulling on me. And it was such a time, you know. And I moved a whole lot more back then. I was a lot younger, and I moved a lot when I preached. And, you know, and the interpreter was with me. He was brand new at interpreting and that, and he got in the spirit, and he was trying to move when I was moving, but he was about this big, you know, and I just about knocked him over while I was moving. You know, they had a little bit of a PA system and a microphone, but I told that young brother that was doing turf for me, I said, I don't need the microphone. They'll be able to hear me, but I said, they can't understand me anyway. I said, they need to hear you because you're putting it into their language. And that, so I said, you hold the microphone. And so, You know, and we preach, and I tell you, what a servant them, people rejoicing and things, as I tell you, such a presence of God coming in. I'm going to tell you something. When I seen the way it was, the different places I traveled there on that first trip of mine, and seen how the people rejoiced and how they pulled on the word, and how they were, they, you know, no air conditioning, no place to sit. You know, they just wanted to hear the gospel. They were hungry, you know. And it was having an effect on them, you know. And I'll tell you what, it affected me, because I just seen what a difference that it was, you know. And you know, I've seen people, you know, come to church and complain because they said, well, the preaching was too long here in America. You know, and say, well, brother, I'll tell you what, the prophet said it should only be 45 minutes, you know, the service, you know. And I can remember one time a brother here in America, you know, he said something to the pastor about it. And so during that time, after he'd said this statement to the pastor about it, it was my father at that time. And then when it would hit that amount of time, it didn't matter what was going on, who was saying what, whether the preacher was still preaching or what or whatever. He looked at his watch, and when it hit that time, he got up, picked up his little baby carrier with his baby in it and his wife and his little girl, out the door they went, going across between everybody, you know, and you know, kind of made a big scene about it, you know, and you see things like that and hear complaints here in you know, amongst the American people. And I'm not trying to, you know, down the American people, but I'm just saying we've got so much, you know. Sometimes we think we ain't got much. We got a whole lot more than they got. You know, and Brother Branham actually says, you know, that in the message, the end time, 1954 in Phoenix, Arizona, I just read this to you. He says, I'm so happy to be here. Brother Moore was just telling me they had taken up an offering for mission work to be given to me for mission work. I thank you. May God bless you. He says, I don't know how to say it. It's just something about missionary that I just love it. And he says, I just know what you're doing. You're doing God's will when you give to missions. That's right. It's not fair that one person hear the gospel twice when somebody hasn't heard it once. Everybody should hear the gospel at least once. And I want to do my part to try to take the gospel to everybody, every place. He said, I don't know what that word is. I don't even know how Brother Brown said that word. But he's talking about the finances that would come in for a meeting he was having. And he says, whatever was left over, he said, I'd give it to charitable organizations. And he said, and so forth. He says, now, I have nothing against them, not at all. And I think they're all fine, every one of them, from the Salvation Army, the Volunteers of America, Red Cross, polio drives, and many of these things. It's good to give to those things. But I thought the people that comes to my meeting are people who are usually poor people, and they're interested in the kingdom of God. And so he says, while much of the world of the people and the common run of people that don't even go to church and businessmen and so forth, they write out checks to them different charities and drives and so forth for thousands and thousands of dollars, why a poor missionary suffers with lack. He said, so what he's saying is, look, he said, I'm not saying anything against these different charitable organizations and things we have here in the United States to take care of the poor people in the States and all these things. But look, there's plenty of people writing out checks and donating to them and providing for that here in this country. Brother Brandon, what he's saying is the people, he says, us, what we're interested in is the kingdom of God. And he says, and I know we'd like to see everybody well. We'd like to see people that's hungry be fed. But you know, the soul is the most important thing of anything in the mortal, because that's the thing that lasts forever. And what he's saying is, look, we'd like to see people well. We'd like to see people fed and people here in our country, you know, have needs and things like that. He says, but look, what's more important than those needs is the needs of spreading the gospel, the souls of the people out there, you know. And, of course, as Paul was saying in these chapters, sometimes you have to give carnal things, contributions, finances, things like that. But what is it for? It's for helping these people. It's not just for, it's not being a welfare for people. It's trying to help people that's actually interested in the kingdom of God, furthering the gospel. And he says, I believe that every Christian is obligated to be a missionary. Now, he goes on to explain what he's saying. He said, I believe every Christian is obligated. Now, not so much as you have to go over into the old countries and preach or something, but if you can't go, you can help send somebody else. He says, see, what you do to send somebody else. And he said, did you ever think of what Jesus said about when the disciples asked him when he would return? They asked him for a sign of when he would return. And Jesus said, you'll hear of wars and rumors of wars. He says, and you'll hear of fathers against mothers and mothers and parents against children and so forth. But that's not it yet. And he says, and there'll be time when they'll all be different and the morals, and they'll marry and be given in marriage and so forth. He says, but it's not yet the end. He said, when this gospel is preached to all the world, then Jesus will return. So, you know, and that was the, Brother Bram said, that was the commission that Jesus actually gave to the Christians, to the believers, is go preach the gospel in all the world, you know. And like I said, it's good to get books translated in language so that they have the books so they can read them. And the auto recordings and all these different things. But that ain't all of it. We've also got to preach. And I'll tell you something. Sending them an audio recording of Brother Branham is actually not fulfilling preaching the gospel. Because we need to take that the message and the things that the prophet has delivered to us and the revelation that God has opened up. Friends, look, there was people when Brother Branham was alive that sat in his services and heard him preach and things like that. And they saw the miracles and all these things. And many of them, they really didn't understand the message of what he was actually preaching. That the understanding of the message and the revelation of it actually didn't start to come manifest till after the prophet was already gone, taken off the scene. And how did it begin to come? Because the Holy Spirit began to move on the fivefold ministry from the message, from what the prophet brought us, you know, and under the anointing and the gift that the ministers have, that God gives them a gift where they can catch this thing that Brother Bram says over here and this thing that he says over here and this, put it with this scripture and that scripture and put it all together and actually make a picture out of the whole thing. Amen. And show it and actually bring it to a level to where it's revealed to the people.
Right.
You know, and I'll tell you something, friends. I can remember sitting as a child, and I'll just tell you something for me personally. I can remember sitting as a child under one of the first message pastors I had, and he could make things so simple. I was 8 years old, and he could make things so simple that at the age of 8 years old, I understood the Godhead, I understood water baptism, I understood these things. I could take you to the scriptures, and I could point these things out to you and actually talk to you about them because of the way he preached. But as I got older and heard different preachers here and there and that, and many of them started getting into, we've got this mystery and we've got that mystery and all this, and sometimes they would get up and they go through things, and when they got done preaching, I'd hear people say, boy, that was great, that was so deep. But you ask them, so, well, what was it about? Well, I don't really know, it was too deep. And there was people that just seemed to be so mesmerized by some of these preachers, deep things that were saying, look, I believe it's deep. I believe there's deep revelations. But I believe that even Jesus Christ, when he was here, would make things so simple that the poor, illiterate, unlearned people could understand what he was talking about. And I look at the prophet, friends, and you think many times he tells this story about a hunting trip, and he tells this story about something he experienced up here on a mountain or out in the woods and all this, and you think they're just stories. They're not just stories.
That's right, brother.
Brother Branham was breaking things down so you could understand things. Look at the message he preached, as an eagle stirreth her nest. And he takes all these things about the nature, how an eagle does, and all these different things, you know, about how she takes out all the fluff out of the nest, and so that the little eaglets are ready to leave the nest and all this. And he goes through this whole thing about it, you know, and he wraps all this up into telling you about us and God, you know. And then I remember I heard the first time I ever listened to one of the messages Brother Branham preached on, At Thy Word, Lord. I went through that message and I read that book, and after I got done, you know, I was like, oh man, he never preached. And so I put the tape on and I listened to it, and I went through it, and I was like, he never did preach this message. All he did was tell stories. So I thought, well, I'm going to go back and listen to it again. And at the third time I went back there and listened, I realized he was talking about the Lord told me to go down there and stand on this corner. And I didn't know what I was going down there for, you know, but I just went down there and stood. And while I was standing down there, there was a man that came by, and he said the Lord had told him to come there. And when he came there, then he had this need, and I prayed for him, and this happened, and that happened. He says, and then somebody else came. Then the Lord told me, walk on up this way and go into this restaurant. And he went into that restaurant, and then there were some people at a table, and then he prayed for somebody there, and then all of a sudden it dawned on me. That's what all these stories are about. At Thy Word, he's doing this. The Lord ain't telling him everything and what he's got to do or what he wants him to go there for. He's just saying, throw out the net, like he did to Peter. And Peter said, we've toiled all night. We didn't take anything. Nevertheless, at Thy Word. God didn't tell him how he was going to manifest it, or about how the fish, he was going to multiply the fish, or how they were going to have other ships to come in because they're going to break the nets and all this stuff. Jesus didn't tell him about all that. He just told him, lay down, throw out your nets, let down for the drought. And Brother Branham, that's where he took his text on, At Thy Word. Because Peter says, nevertheless, at Thy Word. And so Brother Ram goes through telling all these different stories of things he was doing, that God would tell him to go do this. He wouldn't tell him what it was all about or what was going to happen and everything. He would just say, okay, at Thy Word. So the Lord told him to go do it, so he just went down there. So that's what that was, all these stories, what they were all about. But he made things so simple. And friends, I can remember when I started out preaching, I would preach things, you know, and the way that it would come to me is I was studying, and I was young, and I was just learning, you know, and I thought, oh, I'd catch this, and I'd catch that. So I would come to preach to the people, and I would just kind of give it to them the way that it come to me, thinking that they could put it all together just like I did. And then, I realized after a time, no, that wasn't happening. So I realized, no, well, the way it comes to me and all this stuff comes together, I got to break all this down and make it simple. So, friends, I'll tell you honestly, I try to preach so simple that even children can understand. I'm not trying to impress anybody with my great knowledge or understanding or some kind of great revelations or mysterious stuff. You know, I'm not trying to impress anybody or anything like that. Friends, I think about when I was 8 years old and how, you know, the particular pastor I had at that time, he made things so simple that I could understand at the age of 8, 9 years old, you know. And so I just, as I've grown and had years of experience, I've got to where I wanted to be like that more and more, where I just break things down and make it simple. And, you know, when you go out into these countries and I'll be honest with you, don't be offended by this, but I realized after I was down here a first year or two, I realized some of the words and that I needed to use different words. I needed to talk a little bit different, use a few different words, you know, and try to break some words down. Don't use big old words because people won't know what in the world I'm talking about. And that's no, I'm not trying to offend anybody, but I thought, no, look, I gotta talk like we talk down here, you know. And I'm not saying, you know, an accent or any of those things like that. I'm just saying, you know, just break it down to where people can understand what's being said. And that's what you got to do when you go into the mission fields and things like that. You know, friends, look, especially these brothers that that are doing interpreting for you. When you go to these Spanish-speaking countries and places and where you got to have an interpreter, and that, you know, some of these countries, like I've been to in Central America, and that it ain't like they're big super educated in that. And you use some big old word, and, you know, and they don't know the word to interpret for that, because they only know English to a certain extent themselves, and then they got to take what you're saying in English and put that into Spanish, and, you know, and so I had to learn, you know, try to keep things simple, the wording and everything simple and that. And if I see that I said something and the interpreter's having trouble trying to interpret that, then I just try to say it. I'll try to say it again a different way so that it make it easier for them to interpret. And I can remember one place I was at, and Brother Melchizedek was actually interpreting for me. And he's really good, but Brother Melchizedek is kind of a nervous type person, so he gets nervous. See, even when he goes to preach himself, there's times he gets so nervous, he says he'll actually go vomit before he preaches because he's nervous and that, you know. And so he was interpreting for me in that, and I said some things, and I was talking about a wolf coming in among the sheep and things like that, and so he was trying to interpret it, but somehow he was having a little bit of trouble, you know. And so you know, I don't know a lot of Spanish, but I know a few words in that, so I just said the words to him in Spanish, and the congregation just chuckled, you know, and that, because here I was giving the interpreter the Spanish words to say. And but you know, you've got to make it simple. And you know, Brother Branham said, you know, when you come to be a Christian, you ought to say, Lord, make sure you lay a burden on my heart to pray for those that are out in the mission fields, you know. And friends, they don't have it like we do. And so when we've asked, the different times we've asked, and I don't ask you a lot, but every time we've asked for an offering and things like that, I'll tell you this, I commend you. You've always been good to give. You know, and even at times, there's been some times when we had, you know, back when I was first came here as a pastor, you know, things wasn't even like it is now. And I didn't even have as much. And so, you know, when they'd come through, sometimes I'd have to ask y'all to help to give the money to the minister that came in, the missionary brother that come in, an offering, you know, not, you know, to help him. You know what they do? When these brothers come over here, like Brother Lanham and Brother O.L. used to come over and things like that, different places they would go, and they would, you know, everybody was giving them an offering. And when they went to, many times they'd come over during the missionary camp that they had down there in North Carolina and that, and if they had some needs in their country, and Brother O.L. was really good about this, he would bring, he would just not bring in personal needs, but if this particular church over there had a need, he would bring and say, okay, church in such and such a place, they got this amount of money that's needed for whatever the need is, a building or a roof or whatever it is, and this place over here, and they got that need and whatever, and he would deliver those needs and that, and so they would bring those needs for the people, and they'd take up the offerings. And I know this personally, you know, as the money was given to Brother Roel, and Brother Roel would take those offerings and that money, I'm going to tell you what, whatever he said that it was being took up for, that's where he made sure it went. He did not keep that. He did not benefit from it. Whatever that need was that he came here and was an ambassador for that need, or those different needs, he made sure the monies that were took up for those needs went to meet those needs. And he was a very good steward of the money. And monies that were sent to him from different churches and places here in the States, there was those that would send money even throughout the year for different needs and things like that, and they knew they could trust Brother Roel, because Brother Roel, whatever that was that it was supposed to be going there for, it went for that need, you know. And you know, I actually hesitate kind of to tell you this, but you know, you've got to know where you're sending it that you can trust the individual. You know, because there has been places in countries where money was sent, and they always had some brothers or a couple of brothers that were the representatives for it, and it come to my knowledge that they got the money and they would actually skim some off themselves and then give the rest to whatever them people was in that need. They were brought on the carpet for that. They were confronted over those things, and especially by the different brothers, you know, and that's not right, you know. So you got to know, you know, that where it's going, you can trust the individuals, you know, and that, but like I said, sometimes, like with Brother Landland, there's some personal needs that he has, but those personal needs he has, friends, look, that's still for helping get the gospel spread over there. You know, we're not a big church, you know, and I'm not rich, but I'm provided for, and God has actually increased it over the years. And so I'm provided for, my needs are met and things like that. But, you know, some of those churches, the people that are in those churches, they might be, as far as number-wise of people, a lot more people than we got in some of them, but the people don't make much money. So there isn't much that comes in tithe and offerings. You know, I mean, the people give accordingly as they're supposed to give in that, but there just isn't much, you know. I mean, if somebody makes, $30 that week and they give tithing off on that, you know, what's that, $3? You see what I'm saying? If they made $100 that week, they gave their tithing off, that's $10. Well, I'm going to tell you something. $100 don't go very far. $10 don't go nowhere. You see what I'm saying? And so sometimes they got needs that we can help them with. And as Brother Branham said, you know, look, we're obligated. And as Paul says, you know, God has given us so much. Maybe not, you know, in wealth and finances of this world and things, but God has given us so much riches of the gospel. You know, that we need to do whatever we can do whenever that there's a need to try to help, you know. And I'll tell you, friends, my heart beats for the missions. And I haven't been nowhere since the pandemic of 2020. And, but my heart beats for the missions. There was a brother, a pastor, that had been pastoring for years, and I just found out here recently, you know, his son had started preaching, and his son was helping him in the ministry and had been helping him for a few years now, you know, and was taking more and more into the ministry of the pastor of the church and that. And finally, this pastor, and he's older than me. I don't remember how much older. He's younger than my mom and dad, but older than me. But he actually stepped down from being the pastor. His son took over the pastorship of the church, and he's given his time fully to the missions now. Honestly, felt envious, because I just love the missions, you know. And I said, you just, the hunger of the people, and I'm not saying anything against y'all here. We've got a good church. You're a good group of people. And we've had some rough times, friends. We've come through some rough trials, you know. Brother Darrell Ward told me one time, he said, Brother Donnie told him he'd never seen a church go through so much as we've went through. We've experienced so many heartaches and hard times and things, you know. And I'll tell you, sometimes we've had individuals that was here that made it torture to preach to. And you know, there was times when I'd get up and certain individuals would be gone out visiting somewhere else, and I'd actually get up and go, today's going to be a lot easier preaching, you know. We're not a big group, but we're a good group, you know. We're friends. Look, I feel like, you know, if you're in a big church, maybe that's grand and great and all that or whatever, but you know, you kind of, some of the the more people they got, seems to me like they're going to miss out on that kind of family feeling that you can get, that you kind of get amongst a church of just a small church of people and things, you know, and that. And so, but I just, I love the Lord, and I love doing what, doing the work for the Lord. And let's stand. I don't even know what time it is. I'm sorry if I've rambled on and held you, but just, I'll be honest with you. I have never in all my years heard any preacher actually take those two chapters and actually go through them and explain anything about those chapters. I'm not saying to lift myself up. I'm just saying, you know, when I read through them today, I thought, I think this is the first time I've ever even read these two chapters. And so it's just, I think it's good the way the Lord's leading us to go through this like this, you know, and that. And so let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this night. We thank you, God, for bringing us, Lord, this word, Father, and delivering it to us, Father. And I pray, Lord, you'll bless the people. Go with them today, Lord, and go with them with whatever endeavors and work and labors or whatever it is they have tomorrow, dear God. Watch over them, Lord, and bring us back here to point of time on Sunday. I pray again, Lord, for those that are out traveling, watch over them on their travels and bring them back home safe. Those, Lord, that may be out visiting somewhere else out of town, keep them, Lord, and bring them back, Lord. And those that are out sick, Lord, I pray you'll touch them and heal them, Father. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Let's sing that song, Can't You See Why I'm Happy? Amen. Can't you see why I'm happy? I've accepted the word of the Lord, the revealed word that was spoken by the prophet of Malachi. Worship him a minute or two. Can't you see why I'm happy? For I've accepted the word of the Lord, the I tell you, friends, when you go into these other countries and you see them and this message in it, just see how happy they are and how they rejoice in it and that it's just such a blessing, you know. And I enjoy not only that, I enjoy the fellowship of the people and the brethren, you know, and just especially fellowship with them after the preaching and that, and just seeing how happy they are about what was preached and things, and it's just a wonderful time. Amen. Amen. You may be dismissed this time. God bless you.